a genius. He's gonna blow your mind all over the goddamn room. He's like a freaking mind grenade.
Not sure I want that.
Yeah, but you need it.
This is Mind Grenade episode. Oh, I better check here because I've been doing a lot of production shifting stuff around. This is, I think it's episode 187 on the motherfucking, here it is. This is episode 186.
Oh.
So I'm glad I checked. So this is episode 186 of the Mind Grenade Podcast. I am your host. I'm one of your hosts. I'm Hector. And with me is my other host,
Adrian.
And listeners can keep track, you can probably tell what kind of an episode this is going to be when it's me and Adrian. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about movies. This past weekend, my attention span was tested quite a bit. I watched like three full movies. And three episodes of two separate TV shows. So, yeah, it was a rough week. No, it wasn't rough. It was fun actually. We're gonna get into The Joker, which I watched, but you haven't watched. Now, tell me the backstory. What happened? Did you guys plan on watching it and had to back out, or
no? We're gonna go see it in California.
Oh, you're waiting.
Yes.
Oh, okay, cool. I talked about it before on the podcast where I like the Heath Ledger version of the Joker. I am also a huge fan of Jack Nicholson's his performance. Heath Ledger, what I liked about Heath Ledger's Joker is that his origin was ambiguous.
Yes.
It leaves you guessing, which I like. Mm-hmm. That character should be that way. Just like you have no idea what's yeah. coming. And where this guy came from, what made him the way he is, right? Like, I like that. When they announced this Todd Phillips, Joaquin Phoenix movie, I was like, oh, we don't need an origin. We don't need an origin story for the Joker. It's just going to, which was some people's critique without watching the movie, I've noticed online, is that we don't need to sympathize. We don't need a sympathetic story
right.
for a mass murder, like, you know. So that was me about a year ago going, we don't need this origin story for this character. The character is fine by itself. It's great, like, when he just shows up, like in The Dark Knight, where he's kind of a force of nature. He just shows up and then chaos erupts. I like that. So, my attitude changed once I saw the first trailer for this Joker movie. And I was like, oh, now this just looks like an interesting movie. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Joker. It just looks like an interesting movie, which is for me, a big selling point, for any movie. I'm trying to think, because like I won't just watch any superhero movie. I want to go watch a good superhero movie. I'll not go watch Suicide Squad because it looked like, I could tell it didn't look very good from the beginning, so I have to this day not watched that movie. Some people are like surprised. They're like, what do you this Joker movie kind of goes along with that. With that premise, is that it's just a great fucking movie. Like, I was talking last night with somebody who had also watched it that wasn't as they liked it, but not as much as I liked it. And for me, like, the way I described it to this person was that the performance. Joaquin Phoenix's performance, which I'm sure you've heard online and stuff, is amazing. It's legitimately Oscar worthy. Like, it's incredible. If the performance is like an A, then the movie's like a high C or a B.
Okay.
So it's a good movie, but the performance just outshines everything. But when I say outshines everything, everything else is just like the portrayal of Gotham, which is, by the way, the best portrayal of Gotham I've seen.
Okay.
It's fucking bleak. It's fucking sad. Which is what you want.
Yeah.
A pre-Batman Gotham should be fucking just terrible, yeah. Which it is. And any of the supporting cast is in it for like minutes.
Okay.
Like no one's in it for very long other than him. He's in it through the entire thing, Joaquin Phoenix. And it's just like there's not one scene with him that is weak. It's just constantly just amazing. It elevates the movie somewhat, but yeah, like I said, I personally gave it a high score. I gave it like an A-.
Wow.
For me personally, when it comes down to it, I just love a well-crafted movie.
Yeah.
Like I like being mesmerized by what a movie can do. People can talk about whatever political messages are in this movie, which by the way, I saw varying angles. Which is a good sign of a movie. I think this movie is going to be talked about decades from now. Like, it's one of these... I've been calling it an instant classic. I'm totally building this movie up for you. I hope
you
it doesn't. Yeah. It's some people think it's an anti-Trump kind of message in there. And some people look at it and see a direct fucking Antifa kind of thing. Because he gets this whole... He doesn't do it intentionally. This isn't ruining it for you, but he doesn't do it intentionally. But a movement starts, and
okay.
It's very Antifa-like. So, or Occupy Wall Street.
Okay.
Because which the Occupy Wall Street stuff was in the Dark Knight Rises a little bit.
Yeah.
So I see some of that those layers in there, but I was just more enjoying less the layers like that and more just the overall just like performance. Like Joaquin Phoenix is a well-known method actor.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing because it makes it seem like you're watching something real. Like you're just like, because he's exact, but he's also improvising a little bit to make it seem like real life, where he will drop something or run into something. Like accidents will happen
okay.
Accidents will happen that don't seem like they were planned.
All right.
Just little things, and it really sells the whole thing. When he turns, I feel like I don't want to ruin it, but at the same time, you know what's going to happen
yeah.
anyway, right? When he becomes the character, it's fucking haunting.
Yeah,
like you used to see it in his eyes. It's very subtle but super effective. Just like you can just see, I don't know. You just see it. I brought it up to. Someone last night about A Clockwork Orange. Yeah. Alex, I guess, is the main character. There'll be points when the camera's right on him and you can just see his eyes and you just see like oblivion behind his eyes.
Yeah.
And that's what you see with the Joker and the Joaquin Phoenix when he turns. And it's fucking haunting. That's why I think it's gonna be an iconic movie. Aside from the way the movie will inspire conversation, like
yeah.
people will talk about, oh well, I thought the movie was about this and the movie's themes were about this. I think on his performance and just the iconic, like he makes it iconic, the way Jack Nicholson and that's some of the other things. Somebody asked me last night which one is the best Joker. I was like, oh fuck. Because I'm a huge fan of Nicholson and Ledger. To me, both those versions are on par. They're like equal to me. I like them for different reasons. And to me, they're not one is higher than the other. But this one, if it doesn't win an Oscar, I'll be surprised. No. Like, it's that strong. And like I said, I didn't go before trailers and stuff. I was like, I don't really care. I don't want this. And now I'm like just over, like, I might be over. I don't think I am overselling it. I think I noticed the Rotten Tomatoes is kind of off a little bit. The audience score is super high, and then the critic score is kind of mediocre.
Really?
Yeah, strange, but what, you know. I think it's the critic score is like at a mid-60s, and then the audience score is like in the 90s. Huh. I put it like in the low 80s, like maybe mid 80s. Yeah, it's fantastic. Who else is in it? Not Al Pacino, but Robert De Niro's in it. He's fine in it. Zazie Beetz, who plays Domino in Deadpool, is in it. Everybody else is just kind of very, very minor roles in it. But really, they do really well, but just minor. Like, they're in it very little.
Okay.
It's definitely in Gotham, like I said, Gotham. It is, like, Bruce Wayne does, and his dad are in the movie.
Are they?
Yeah. This takes place in the 70s.
Oh.
The timeline. They don't know if they're going to do it. I guess Todd Phillips, the director, he said when they wrote the movie, put the movie together, it was just a one and done. Like, their intentions were just one movie. But the possibility of a sequel is out there. Joaquin says he'd be down to come back if it's a good script or whatever. I don't know. I think the one and done is fine. I like what DC's new approach seems to be heading, which is like, because this seems like an Elseworlds or a what if. Like, okay. It just seems like a on its own type of thing. But it could totally tie into that Robert Pattinson Batman movie that's coming out whenever next year, the year following. They can have him reprise the Joker role. I mean, they won't have to do a lot if they keep his makeup on the entire time.
Yeah.
The Joker's like, they don't have to worry about making him look older, because like I said, the Joker movie took place in the 70s. This Batman movie presumably takes place now. So, because, yeah, Bruce Wayne in the Joker movie is like a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
So, if they take, which they probably won't. I mean, they could be doing it behind the scenes, but I think they, I don't know if they started production on the Batman yet. I think that's the thing. they cast Zoe Kravitz as Catwoman.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yesterday, I think.
Oh.
Zoe Kravitz played, she was in one of the X-Men movies.
Mm-hmm.
Angel, I think she played in First Class. So. Yeah, she's playing Catwoman in this Robert Pattinson Batman movie that comes out in the next couple of years. But it would be cool if they brought in this Joaquin Phoenix Joker and have him go up against Batman proper, you know?
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, I want to at least keep some of the stuff for you to watch whenever you go watch it in the theater, which is pretty soon, right? You guys,
next
this
week,
month?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, definitely is one to watch, this movie. It's broken records for October. I think the previous record was Venom.
Yeah.
Before I move on to a couple other movie reviews, this whole thing with, Scorsese, the director of The Irishman that comes out pretty soon, Martin Scorsese, Goodfellas and all these other fantastic movies, he, I guess, said something about how superhero movies aren't cinema and this and that, and like,
yeah.
Whatever, like, that's fine, like, everybody has their opinion, like, I guess people got riled up online. I don't know. I mean, I have my opinion on it. Like, there's superhero movies. A lot are fluff. I mean, your opinion might be different than mine, Adrian. But like, we both love superhero movies.
Yes.
But I don't think all of it is. Like, Shazam is a fantastic movie. It was a great experience in the theater. I love it. It was a lot of fun. I don't know if I would call that cinema. I would call. Let me try to think of like this Joker movie. Like, this Joker movie is almost not a superhero. I mean, there aren't no one with powers is in it. If that's what you were going to use for Batman doesn't have powers, so it's hard to call. You can still call a Batman movie a superhero movie, even though there aren't people with superpowers in it. But I might be able to consider some superhero movie cinema, but a lot of it isn't. A lot of it is just big blockbuster fun movies.
Yeah.
And but the whole Martin Scorsese thing, people getting up in arms about it. It's like it's one dude's opinion.
Yeah.
Like, who cares? Like, to get riled up about it. Because I am a fan of his, but
I am too. But how many mobster movies do we need?
That's true too. That's all he does. This is a great point. Great point. He does it really well.
He does.
But
and I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'm a fan of superhero movies. I'm a fan of his, but like, I think it's more nuanced than the way he put it out there. Like, there is real cinema that could. That can come out of superhero movie. Like, it's, they're not mutual. Like, just because it's a superhero movie doesn't mean that it's instantly not cinema. Like, it doesn't preclude it from being cinema.
Right.
I guess it's really their approach. Like, when you think of a Tarantino movie, that to me is cinema. But then you get into some of his crazier movies like Kill Bill, and then it starts becoming almost a superhero movie because she's like incredible in it. But I think it's the approach really is. It's just when they're putting out a superhero movie just like back to back to back to back, it starts to become kind of like a money grab. So I can see that argument against it being cinema and more just business, I guess. We'll move off the superhero stuff to appease Martin Scorsese and talk about a couple other movies. So you watched Gemini Man and I watched Ad Astra over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into Gemini Man, but I wanted to point out that I was the only person in the theater for Ad Astra.
Really?
which I liked, actually. The movie had been out for a couple weeks already, and it's made its money back. It wasn't like, you know... it wasn't a bomb or anything, but I was like, fuck yeah. I sat down, I had my phone out during the trailers, and because I mean, I wasn't bothering anybody with my phone. But I did enjoy watching that movie, especially a movie like that just to myself. The Gemini Man is an Ang Lee movie, which I'm a fan of Ang Lee, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, and plus a bunch of other movies. But, this is him and Will Smith. It's near future, right?
Yes.
Probably what, like 50 years or something like that? 70?
Like,
no, more closer.
Closer, yeah.
Like a couple decades. He's a hitman. Will Smith's a hitman,
yes.
And he's on the run.
He goes on the run because he's trying to retire and they don't want him to.
Okay, because he's probably just a complete badass and
yes.
They don't want to let him go. Tell me about it because I've been hearing about it for the last couple months and the trailers and stuff, and it looks amazing. I feel like they had to age current Will Smith up because he still looks like he still looks really young.
I think they just added gray to his hair.
Yeah, his temples and stuff, yeah. So tell me about it. The pretty action-packed.
It is, and he went through some weapons training because you could just tell.
Yeah.
It reminded me of...
John Wick.
Yes,
did.
Which was really nice. And I found out recently that he acted all of his parts, even the younger version. He had the dots on his face.
Yeah.
So that was really cool. So he has two main roles in the movie.
Yeah.
And he's sent back to kill, or not sent back, he's tasked with killing his older self.
Okay. So the younger version's a clone?
Yes.
And he's tasked to, okay. The CGI or
it's
whatever.
It's great in the beginning, and then it gets not so
kind of wonky towards the end.
Like a video game at the end, but not bad. It's not okay. Horrible.
Yeah. It's that, it's like Rogue One, where after a while you could tell the dude's not real.
Yes.
You know, when I watched It Chapter 2, the kids, the little bit of de-aging they had to do with the kids, because they'd filmed it a year or two later, and when you're that age, you do a lot of, you grow really quick, or you change really quick. It was fine, but then there's a couple scenes where it was rushed.
Yeah.
So, is Gemini Man, is it a long movie, or like what?
It's like 2.5 hours.
Really? Okay. Yeah.
Didn't seem like it.
Okay. Because Ad Astra was also, let's see, I watched Ad Astra, and I watched The Dead Don't Die, which is, I watched it on, here at home. It's a Jim Jarmusch movie. It's Bill Murray, and, I forget the actor.
Kylo Ren.
Yeah.
I was
going to go with Kylo Ren, but then I remembered the name Adam Driver.
That's okay.
Have you watched it too?
No, but I want to.
Yeah, it's also about a 2-hour movie, and I need to stop checking the time on movies, because all these movies we've talked about haven't felt like 2-hour movies. The Gemini Man. So, what else did I? Because, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, he did the Hulk movie with Eric Bana. He's done other movies. There's a movie he did where there's a kid, an Indian kid from India, on a boat with a tiger. What the fuck was that?
The Life of Pi?
Yes, Life of Pi. Did you watch that?
No.
No? Yeah. It looks really artsy.
Yes.
I could probably only stand behind Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. I really like that movie, and the main actress in that's always, I always like seeing her and stuff. I think I saw her in Godzilla.
Michelle?
No, not Michelle Yeoh, no. But the younger actress after the sword and Green Destiny, I think it's called in Crouching Tiger. Ang Lee, yeah, he's a great director. Let's see what else. So story wise, what would you think of the Gemini Man story wise?
I liked it. It was Looper ish if you've seen
okay.
it. Okay. But there was no time travel.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's something you know you've seen before.
Okay, yeah. Which can work and not work.
It worked.
Yeah. Because for example, the example it's readily available is Avatar, the Jim Cameron movie.
Yeah.
Where that story has been recycled multiple times, but for me it worked in Avatar. It didn't bother me. I think they took a story that has already been done, but I don't know, made it work. So so movies can do that. I mean, I've watched Looper is like one of my favorite movies.
Me too.
The guy that did Looper, Rian Johnson, did The Last Jedi. And he's about to release his new movie called Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see trailers for that?
Yeah.
They've been playing trailers in front of the movies in the theaters recently. It's like a whodunit, like a mystery thing. So I'm excited for that. Yeah, I'm a big Rian Johnson fan. That Looper movie is just so great. Like, it's one of those movies that has layers to it.
Yeah.
So you've got the sci-fi thing going on, the time travel stuff. You have the performances between Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's great in it, doing the impersonate.
His makeup is awesome.
Yeah, great idea to have him do that.
Yeah,
that role. And but there's all kinds of other like social kind of stuff weaved into the storyline where it's like there's like people, large swaths of society that are like just super poor,
mm-hmm.
and like what's the actress's name? I forget her name, but she's living out on a farm, and like random disenfranchised people will kind of wander onto her farm, and she's got to scare them off, and yeah. like so there's this whole thing. And then Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character was one of those poor people disenfranchised out on the streets, but then gets taken in by the mafia.
Yeah.
And so you have him kind of like living it up before he knows he's going to have to die young, but at least he's not on the street. And like, yeah, there's a lot going on in that movie. And it's just a beautifully shot movie too. Yes. Not only is the story interesting and layered, but then like the cinematography and the music's just fantastic. Rian Johnson does get kind of flack for that Last Jedi movie. I don't care what people think. That movie is great.
I liked it too.
It's not Empire, still my favorite Star Wars movie. Empire, if Empire Strikes Back was the only Star Wars movie ever made, Star Wars would still be as big as a big deal as it is, I think. But Last Jedi is like the only Star Wars movie that got me choked up in moments. Like, even still, if I watched it now, like, I remember watching it on a plane ride after I had watched it in the theater and watched it at home. But I was on a plane and I watched it from beginning to end. And towards the end, there's some moments in it where I get choked up emotionally,
yeah.
which has never happened to me before in a Star Wars movie. Star Wars movies, swashbuckling, kind of fun action. You do get pathos and stuff, and it's not like it's devoid of emotion, but not enough to, like watching a Spider-Man movie where I can get choked up in a Spider-Man movie. Yeah. I can get emotionally like, yeah. oh shit, hold back the tears. Like with the not all Spider-Man movies, but a really good one, like I think the first Andrew Garfield movie.
Yeah.
And then the Tom Holland ones.
It's a second one.
It's a second one. There's, yeah. I want to say both, really, the Andrew Garfield ones. It's just that the second one was not very good movie. But there are moments in it that are emotionally, like towards the end.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because she, yeah, spoiler alert. She doesn't make it.
Wow.
Getting a life there. But and then the Tom Holland one, or at the end of Infinity War,
yes.
yeah, just stuff like that, you do get choked up. Yep. With the Star Wars movies, I've never really gotten choked up that way, except for The Last Jedi. So I have to give it points for that. And there's some beautifully shot scenes in The Last Jedi, and I like that. It's refreshing. It is different than what we had been getting. And I love Force Awakens, but Force Awakens is a carbon copy of A New Hope.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. Like I said, I'll watch Force Awakens over and over again. But I like that they decided to kind of pivot a little bit and change things up with The Last Jedi as a breath of fresh air. Let's see. We were just talking about Rian Johnson and Knives Out.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that. It's a big cast. It's got Chris Evans. It's got James Bond in it. It's got a bunch of people in it. So I'm looking forward. That one I'm definitely going to watch in the theater, the Knives Out movie. Gemini. So you recommend?
It's a solid B.
Yeah, sweet, sweet. Okay, and Ad Astra. Let me see what I give in Ad Astra here. So... this movie is more like comparable to a Gravity.
Okay.
Gravity with Sandra Bullock, yeah. where it's more thoughtful, like you're just sitting there. There's a little bit of action in it, but that's not what the movie's about. It's very thoughtful, like
okay.
you're just sitting there kind of like, it's a beautifully shot movie. It's Brad Pitt. Also, really just the only star of the movie, kind of like the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix. The supporting cast is hardly in it. And Ad Astra, Brad Pitt has, like, people he runs into for a moment. and then you move on. Because he's on a quest. It's very the Odyssey or some of these like Greek kind of fables where it's this hero character is on a journey and has to find something and then is changed forever type of story.
Okay.
And it is a father-son kind of thing. But then it's more than that. It's about humanity, too. It's set in the near future where space travel is more of a thing where, like, we have people on the moon. We have stations on the moon. We have some limited stuff going on Mars. This journey that he goes on starts on Earth and then, like, ends up right outside of Neptune, where his father is at. Tommy Lee Jones plays his father. And really, this is it showcases Brad Pitt's he's at a point in his career that he's just kind of on the stride. He's really good in it. He's really he can carry this movie like the way that Joaquin Phoenix was carrying, not as strong as a performance as, or as out there a performance as Joaquin Phoenix in The Joker, but it is, you have to, for an actor to be the main driving force in a movie, he has to kind of like keep your interest through the entire thing, and he does. He was just in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which was great. He was great in it also. So I think he's in this kind of zone that Keanu Reeves is in.
Okay.
Where it's like a combination of his age and where he's at in his career, mm-hmm. how long he's been in Hollywood, that it's just hit this sweet spot in his career. And yeah, it was really enjoyable. Let me see. I think I gave it like a C+ or something like that.
Okay.
Which is really good for the type of movie it was. It was a quiet kind of introspective movie.
Okay.
It's it's not for everybody. I enjoyed it quite a bit. For me, it's one of those that it'd be a good rental.
Right. Okay.
It's not one you have to rush to go out in the theater to go watch, but it's a solid rental for me, I thought. I'm trying to think of who else was in it. Ruth Nega was in it, Liv Tyler, Tommy Lee Jones. The director I didn't know very well, but he did a great job. Like, it's very, he's very attentive to detail. Very little subtle things in there to make it very realistic for being like 50 years in the future, something like that. Like, it felt like an extension of now rather than some crazy future. Like, it wasn't Back to the Future 2, you know, where Jaws 19 is playing at the movie theater or whatever in that movie. It was a serious movie. I'm trying to think if there are any, there aren't any funny points in this movie either. Yeah, and by the way, the Joker, there was no fun. I think I chuckled at something at one point, but it was an ironic kind of... It wasn't meant as a joke, maybe. The Joker, there is not one joke in that. There are jokes in the movie, but it's not funny anywhere in the movie.
Okay.
It's rated R, too, the Joker.
I did know that.
Yeah. It did shock me a couple... It's... The rated R part of it was subtle. Like, it was done really well where... It felt natural, where when you watch Logan,
yeah,
I think they pushed the curse words. They could have reeled it back a little bit because it just seemed like they were cussing just because they knew they could.
Yeah,
it's like in the Joker, it doesn't. When you hear F-bombs, they're earned, and but the violence is, yeah, the movie doesn't have a crazy back to Joker now. The movie doesn't have a crazy body count, but when it's violent, it is pretty raw violence. But yeah, so I think all these movies we've talked about are recommendations. Yes. And then looking forward, I think Knives Out, the Rian Johnson movie, and Star Wars Episode 9 are the ones that I'm definitely going to watch in the theater. These are like just kind of looking forward to the next couple months. It's almost the end of the year, or it is about the end of the year. And I think Zombieland is yes. one I might possibly go watch in the theater. Depends on a couple things, but then that Jojo Rabbit movie that Taika Waititi directed is coming out. I don't know if I'll watch that or not. That's a really kind of indie movie. That'll be one of those situations like Ad Astra where I'll walk in and I'll be the only person in the theater, which is totally fine. Yeah, mainly this episode 9, which I'm convinced that Rey is a Skywalker.
Me too.
Okay, cool. I don't know. Yeah, and it seems like it would work out that way too, because like it'll kind of go against what Kylo Ren had told her
yeah.
in The Last Jedi, like, which comes off like a spiteful thing yes. to say to somebody. And if she does end up turning out to be a Skywalker, it'll go against
him. Yeah.
It'll just kind of like throw it in his face yeah. that no, my family is pretty important. Not that I don't know if I was talking to you about this, but like I just want her to be her own character at this point. Like, we don't have to keep going back to the lineage of the character to make her important. Like, if she does turn out to be a Skywalker, fine, but let's like look for stuff that makes her unique and stand her on, which she's already a fully formed character, I think.
Yeah,
like they just keep adding to that, but just like we don't have to just kind of like, oh no, she's important because she's a Skywalker. It's like, I don't know. I think these characters can just kind of stand on their own. I've kind of come to that conclusion. I was convinced she was a Palpatine there for a long time. Right before The Last Jedi came out, I was like, oh, she seems like she's like the lineage of Palpatine, but. Now I'm convinced she's a Skywalker. But then Palpatine apparently is going to show up in this next movie. So I don't know how that's going to throw off my theory. I think we'll wrap it up. I think we got everything. Did you want anything else to throw in here? Any?
Yes. Sweet. There was a Top Gun preview before Gemini Man.
Oh, yeah?
And it made me very excited.
Cool, because I have seen that trailer, and it looks amazing.
Yes.
There's a scene where he's taken off from a carrier.
Yes.
And then it like
it looks like he's really
I think he really did do that.
I hope so. It looks like he's flying,
because he said in interviews that he convinced them to let him do some stuff on his own.
Nice.
And I think that's one of them.
It looks
fucking insane.
I know.
Landing or taking off an aircraft carrier is probably one of the most ballsiest things that any human being can do.
Right.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen videos of people just where it doesn't work out.
Right.
Because, I mean, it's like, yeah, it's, but yes, I'm super excited for that too.
Cool.
He's like one of the last big movie stars. And that he does his own stunts and stuff, and they let him do his own stunts is great. I think it does come off and
yes,
that last Mission Impossible movie, which we've talked yes. a bunch on this podcast, it was literally edge of your seat yeah. for me
the whole time.
Yes, so yeah, super excited for that. I wonder when that's coming out, the new Top Gun movie. I know that director. I think the original director had died. I think it was like Tony Scott, I think, did the original one. Why isn't my phone working? I'm trying to think of what else movie-wise. Ah, fuck it. My phone's not working for me. Yeah. And you know, I know you're not a big Chris Nolan fan. Or
no, but there was a preview.
Yeah, Tenet.
Yes.
Which
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I am too. They don't tell you very much at all.
No, not at all. It's the way Tenet is written.
Yeah, for me. T-E-N-E-T. It's like
the last T's upside down.
Yeah, yeah. But those you can reverse it, mm-hmm. the spelling, and it spells the same thing. But you don't get any kind of context from the trailer.
Nope.
It's to me, it looks like a James Bond movie. The main actor is a African American, or I'm not sure where he's from. Maybe he's not American, but African descent. But it looks like an action movie. But then what I've read is that it's Inception meets time travel.
Ooh, that'd be neat.
You can't get any of that context from the trailer,
right?
But that's what I've read. So I'm intrigued by that because I did like Inception out of the Nolan movies. I liked Inception a lot more than I liked Interstellar. Interstellar was kind of boring. Inception I liked. And I like this marketing where they just show you just enough, where it's kind of frustrating.
Yes.
But I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
So they're doing something right. So it'll be interesting to see. I did. Boy, there's a lot of trailers, man. Like, have you noticed that?
Yes.
Fuck, man. It's like,
more.
Yeah.
Usual.
Yeah. I don't know. There's this one trailer for a movie about an app that tells you when you're gonna die. Did you see that one?
No, I didn't have that.
No,
one.
It's called Death App. I think it's what it's called or something like that. It just looks like more of kind of that schlocky kind of B movie. Horror movie. What else did I see? I keep seeing a trailer for 1917, which is a war movie.
That looks okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. There's a lot of trailers that just kind of are cycling through that you see. But I like movie trailers. I just don't like a half hour's worth of movie trailers.
To where you forget what you're in
there. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Hollywood I don't know. I guess they have to, pay for these movies. Alright, so, I'm trying to think of what else is coming up. So Disney Plus. So this is one of the last podcasts we're doing before the Disney Plus thing just takes hold. And, I looked at a list of all the stuff that's going to be on, the first day. It's fucking insane. It's like 150 Disney movies all mm-hmm. at once. Like, even good ones.
Yes.
Like Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, The Little Mermaid. Just fucking it's insane. And then The Mandalorian and whatever other TV shows are coming out. That's what you have to look forward to is us talking
raving.
Nonstop
yes.
about Disney Plus. So all right, so that was episode 186 of the Mind Granny Podcast. We have been your hosts. I've been Hector.
Adrian.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Living down.